What's the farthest you have ever biked, like in one trip?
В 2020 году во время
In
отпуска я
2020,
поехал из Мариуполя в Умань и обратно. То есть это было
from
2000
Mariupol to
километров за
Uman in the
20
western
дней.
part of Ukraine.
В Умань я ехал через север страны,
It was
а
like
возвращался
2000
через Мариуполь.
километer
2000
trip.
километров.
It took me 20 days.
Wow.
It's a long trip.
Каждый отпуск я стараюсь
Yeah,
куда-то
it was like
впечатление.
Amazing experience.
Mykola Zhulov had a regular job in Mariupol. When he wasn't working, he liked to fix bikes, ride bikes, and organize rides for groups.
What do you like about biking?
The most interesting thing, the most exciting thing in this bike tourism is the notion of breaking the routine, the usual day stuff, so you can get new experiences, meet new people, get to the new places, and this is what excites.
This is Ukraine Stories from Fearless Media, where we tell the story of the war in Ukraine, one person at a time. I'm David Green. When the Russians first invaded Mariupol, Mykola's boss told him to stay home. So he did, with his mom and grandma in their apartment. Then the electricity went out, and then they started running out of food. How did you eat?
Там было два варианта.
So there were only two ways to get the food. The one way is to go with the crowd to actually break into the shops to loot it. And I wasn't keen on this. And the second way is to go afterwards to pick the leftovers. So this I did.
Hmm. Why did that feel better to you, to go and like just get the leftovers instead of going with the crowd?
It was a dangerous thing to do. Many of those looters were drunk. And also, I didn't want to commit a crime, because it was a crime. And that's why I only try to manage the situation in the most decent way possible, because you need to sustain yourself.
So do you have like a memory you could share about you, your mother, your grandmother living in this way during the war, like with you going to the store and getting, you know, leftover food? Like what memory stands out to you of the three of you surviving together?
На самом деле все дни.
Hard to pick one day, because all days were the same. The day started when the sunrise came and it ended with the sunset. So the typical day, the routine was you come up, you go look for food, you find it, you cook it, you eat, you sleep. So this was the routine for 2-3 weeks before I left.
So how did you decide when to leave? Like, what was the moment that you decided you needed to leave Mariupol? And can you tell me how that conversation went? Like, did you talk to your mom and grandmother about the idea of leaving?
So we had this conversation often about what to do, and we knew that it will be easier for me to leave the city, firstly because two elderly women, it's hard to endure the journey for them, and also the notion of security that probably if the occupation happens, it will be much more dangerous for the male to stay than for the women, especially elderly ones.
And why is it more dangerous for a young man to stay?
The danger is coming from that notion that in the areas where Russians got to like occupy it, the filtration process been introduced. So, and this is simply the scanning of civilians by Russian forces, Russian troops, and no one knows what the process is actually. Like, the rules been changing constantly, and everything could get you to the basement, which means just the makeshift jails without any law being upheld there. So the torture is common, and this like uncertainty is what's getting people out of there, especially the male population.
So it's mostly men who would end up in these like Russian jails and being.
Yeah, this is like what the situation.
Do you remember a moment like your grandmother or mother saying something to you, like?
So, my mother told me, like, please stay safe, take care of yourself, because I need a son being alive. And he replied, yeah, it's okay, but he also take care of yourself, because I also need my mother to be alive. So it was a hard moment to depart, but that was the thing needed to be done.
So Mykola and his neighbors, a husband and wife and their daughter, walked out of Mariupol. The plan was for the family to catch a ride with one of the cars that were evacuating.
So on the first day of our like escaping the city, we only get to the outskirts of Mariupol, like the village, just 2 kilometers from Mariupol itself. And on the second day, some car passing by picked up the woman and the child, and they went further. And me and my friend were like forced to go to this filtration camp by Russians. So Russians picked us up to this filtration camp, but like with the rifles being directed at us.
So then you and your friend get picked up by these Russians, and what happened then?
So after we were picked up by Russians, we went to the place called Mangush, and we've been scanned very thorough, and they were looking for all sorts of marks, the tattoos, some signs of like the military service, if you had some training, the muscles, the calluses on your hands. And my friend, he was like looking normally, like usual guy, but I had the full tourist equipment with me, and they said, we will hold you for some time.
Did they tell you why they chose you?
For the most part, I think it was the clothes, my clothes, which was like, they were military looking. It was this blue-white striped shirt called, like in common language, called тельняшка. And like traditionally it's associated with the military, because it was the Navy and the Airborne forces.
I see. You show me a picture. It's like blue.
Yeah, blue stripes. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, my tourist equipment with me, and this bottle, like empty bottle from yogurt, like the empty yogurt bottle with the brand name Galichina. Which is the old name for the western part of Ukraine, which those soldiers maybe didn't like.
They got mad at you because you had an empty yogurt bottle with the old name for western Ukraine.
Это было скорее уже финальным.
So probably it was like this empty yogurt bottle, the final stroke. So while they were going through all my equipment, my stuff, they were constantly repeating like, "You are the soldier, you are Nazi." Because you are like, you have a Nazi looking clothes, and after they found this empty yogurt bottle, they said, oh, now we know that for sure that you are Nazi because you have this Nazi sounding yogurt.
And what equipment did you have? Like,
so I had like the usual tourist equipment, especially the bike bags.
Ah, like the bags that go over the back of your bike, like to carry stuff.
Yeah, to carry stuff, to carry food, clothes.
Did you have your bike?
Конечно, у меня был велосипед.
So my bike was present with me at all stages during all the checks, all the time.
This filtration camp had been a Ukrainian police station. Mykola was held in a courtyard, surrounded by a fence. His friend had been let go. Mykola was told that he was a prisoner of war. So we're in a filtration camp now. Were you scared by all that they were doing to you?
At first, I was confident because I'm a civilian guy. I have all the documents. I have nothing to hide, so let them scan me. But after some time, I got the information about people who've been just driven to the place called Dokuchaevsk, and they were just no information about them afterwards. So they've been like kidnapped almost. And there were a lot of women who come to ask to these policemen, the Russian ones, where are our relatives, our husbands, our sons? And they were not replying to them. And at that moment, I got scared.
So how long were you at this filtration camp?
8 часов я провёл в фильтрационном.
In the filtration camp, I spent total 8 hours. But even when I left that place, it wasn't like the end of the difficulties. And to the Ukrainian controlled territory, it was still 160 kilometers to go.
Mykola was released with no real explanation. He made it to a school for other evacuees, and he found his friend and his friend's wife and daughter there. Mykola continued on alone. So what happened when you left and you're by yourself? Like, what did you do?
So after that, I went straight to Zaporizhia. For the first part of the day, I've covered approximately 80 kilometers on my bike.
So you were biking from Mariupol to Zaporizhia.
Я думал, что ДНР.
Yes, I was biking. And at the evening, I got lucky. I got to some village, and I was stopped by local people, and they asked where we're from, what are you doing, and he answered them, and they offered shelter for a night, yes, place to sleep.
Were you thinking like I'm escaping a war on a bicycle? Like, did it ever occur to you that this is crazy?
So this thought occurred on the second day of my bike trip after I left this place where people got me, they gave me a shelter for a night. My goal for the day was to get to the small town called Orikhiv, which is the Ukrainian held territory. But I knew that there are 19 Russian checkpoints until this place, and I should try to get this distance in one day.
So when you say it, this thought occurred to you, what was that thought?
Мысль была одна, мне нужно.
The really the one thought that occurred to me on that day is the I need to go through. I need to succeed because this is the only option available. To go all the length, all the distance to the free territory, because there are like broken cars on all sides of the roads, and the situation is difficult. But I need to succeed to get to the end point of my destination.
And did you make it through the 19 checkpoints that day? How did the day go?
Когда я выехал от этих людей, которые меня приютили,
the people who gave me a shelter at the after the first day of my trip, they were very decent people. They gave me some food, bread, several lumps of meat to sustain me, and I went through all the checkpoints. Some of them were just like go. And some were checking very thoroughly through all my documents and stuff. And the last five checkpoints near the Ukrainian held territory, it's like actually the war zone. It was like shelling, fighting ongoing. So it was very dangerous. But because I was on bike, there were the columns of car waiting to be evacuated to let them through the checkpoints, and because I was on bike, I could just pass all this stuff, but it was very dangerous. The fighting was intense, so I just understood that I need to get through this last 5 kilometers and it will be okay.
I can't believe you're biking through all this.
Ride or die.
Ride or die.
Это было в очереди.
So you just need to go, you know, just get all your luck together and just go.
Mykola and his bike eventually made it safely to Zaporizhia, and that's where we met him. Do you bike around Zaporizhia?
Планировал сегодня.
So, in fact, it was like the first day today when I thought about going on the bike trip around Zaporizhia, because like for the first weeks after I got like to the Zaporizhia, the only thought was to be like to enjoy the basics, you know, the water flowing into in the bathroom and the light and the heating. And there were like no thoughts about bike rides, so.
But now you're gonna start biking soon?
Конечно, погода.
So yeah, of course I plan to continue my bike hobby, my bike journeys, especially when the weather is getting nicer and nicer with each day.
Ride or die, Nikolai. Nice to meet you. Mykola was able to connect with someone to go back and check on his mom and grandmother. They're still in Mariupol. An explosion blew a hole in their building, but for now they're okay. This is Ukraine Stories from Fearless Media. I'm David Green.